We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff will be back at 3:20. We're joined by our 93.7 The Fan NFL insider, John Clayton Braddock-Zone, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. And he's with us to shed a little bit more light on his report on Russell Wilson wanting Antonio Brown in Seattle. John, that was a whopper when I saw it, and I was just completely shocked by it. Tell me a little bit more.
Well, what it comes down to, and this is, it's probably gotten too much play because it's not going to happen. I mean, I give it a 5% chance of it happening. But what it is that, Russell wants star power. I mean, he wants to win. And so he wants as many good players on this team as possible, and they want to accommodate. They started the offseason. They got him Greg Olsen. He was thrilled about that. Got him four offensive linemen. Yesterday got him Carlos Hyde. They ended up getting, Philip Dorsett with 4.3 speed. And so what happens is that he wants as much as he can to try to win because he wants to get to the Super Bowl. So it's one of those things where he'll put in for a few names and all that stuff. But in return, there's nothing that's going to happen. And if it does happen, it's down the line. And my guess is that Josh Gordon will become available, and that'll be the option that they'll get. Because, what I was writing about and talking about last week is that he was out there trying to go ahead and be a guy that could go get as Devontae Freeman. But in the end, that just was too much.
John, do you think Pete Carroll is the kind of coach, because I've brought this up, I thought Mike Tomlin obviously in the end did a lot to get, did good work to get a lot out of Antonio Brown for as long as he did. Do you think Pete Carroll would be able to handle Antonio Brown, the personality, if it did come to that?
He would be about as good as anybody trying to handle it, but nobody can handle Antonio Brown at this stage. And that's why it's more down the line. If anything would happen, and by that time they're going to be capped out, so it won't happen then. But what you're looking at is that you've got, what's the cost? How much is it going to get? He still hasn't been ruled to be able to play yet because, does he go on the exempt list or what happens there? So that has to play into account. And really, they don't need him as much as they want to.
John,
what they need, because they've got enough receivers. This would be a bonus to get him, but, they only throw the ball like 31 times a game, and so is that going to be enough to satisfy him, particularly when you got DK Metcalf
right.
who had 900 yards, you've got, a real good one in, Tyler Lockett, and so it's like, it just doesn't seem to be a fit. It's all, and again, what happened, and you went through this because again, there's so little to talk about now, is that you went through this with, should the Steelers get Cam Newton as the backup quarterback? What about them getting Jameis Winston as the backup quarterback? And you saw how that one went.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's star power, but sometimes star power might not be good.
John, that's what I – and we're talking to John Clayton, our 93.7 The Fan NFL insider. Russell Wilson is such a smart guy. He's such a team first, not a me guy. And that's why hearing that he would be interested in a quarterback that at the end – provided Ben Roethlisberger, a Hall of Fame quarterback, with such an enormous headache. That's why I'm surprised that Wilson would want to even get himself into that relationship with a player.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. No, it's like, again, all he wants, because he feels he can deal with just about anybody because he's been doing it, and it's his team. That's why, really, Cam Newton wouldn't be a good fit, and any of the other big names wouldn't have been a good fit as a backup. I mean, Geno Smith is the perfect fit because, first off, you know, you don't have Russell Wilson missing a game. He's always out there.
Yep.
John, speaking of Newton for a second, where is he going to end up? Do you have any sense now, more so than last week or at any time in this process, that there's a landing destination for him?
Nope, there's none. Because right now he's still stuck with the inability to go get a workout and get an ability to see where he is and get a doctor to take a look at him. So he's basically, and again, you know, from his standpoint, I mean, hey, what if a starter goes down sometime in July? I mean, then he can get more money than, you know, what would be the $1.5 million that Joe Flacco got or the $1.1 that Jameis Winston got.
John Clayton joining us here on 93.7 The Fan. Yeah, what do you make of Flacco to the Jets, John? What was your, like, just gut reaction to that move?
Weird. Because it's like, you know, you can see him reaching out. I mean, again, you can see just the way it worked for Cam Newton, that you have to panic and try to see if you can get something. And he wanted to get something. And so from a couple reasons, because, I mean, even talking yesterday, I mean, he's probably not going to be ready for the regular season. And what he's also in a position is that, you know, he can come, say, in July, report to training camp, and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, he's out there, you know, they can just fail him on the physical and he's got nothing. So I guess from that standpoint, it's maybe no lose because, you know, if he gets cut, but again, he's not going to be ready. His surgery was right before the draft in April, and, you know, at the earliest he can be there is like the last week of August to be able to be maybe to make the team, but he's very well going to probably be on the sixth game physically unable to perform list. I mean, I find it a very curious signing.
Speaking of that division, John, do you put this as the year that the Patriots, generally speaking, their run of terror there stops? Like, is it the Bills, the Jets, or the Dolphins even that finally kind of rise up, Buffalo being obviously the most likely one?
Yeah, Buffalo, I think, is now the best team in that division. Jets are still shaky, and the Dolphins are still in the rebuilding mode. So, really, I think that only because of the Dolphins and the Jets, where I think that you can see that the Patriots can probably go 3-1 against them. I think the Patriots you look at is about an 8-win team right now, and you know, they won 12 last year. And I'm not saying Tom Brady at his age is worth 4 games, but certainly, you know, he's worth at least 2 and maybe 3. And then with the easy schedule, they're there.
John Clayton, 93.7 The Fan, NFL Insider, is our guest here. John, what were they saying? What were people around the NFL saying about the Steelers' decision last week to not offer up all of their tickets, to not sell all their full allotment of tickets for the 2020 season?
I think it senses what everybody realizes is that there's still a great chance that nobody's going to be in the stands, particularly in the first half of the season, or it may just be 20%, 30% filled. And so it's like, you know, why at a time right now where everybody needs their money with so many people out of work, why put that pressure on? So I think it was a smart thing to do because, you know, it's nice to be able to hold the money, but if you have to give it back, it's like, okay, do you really need to do it that way? So I think that that was a smart way to do things because, again, you know, there's so many different ways that teams are handling it because, again, nobody knows and nobody's been through this before. I mean, you can see that there's a rising momentum that everybody figures that they're going to start the season on time. Now, I'm not saying the preseason because that's still going to be in question, but it looks like it starts the regular season on time, you know, because now you've got New York, which is harder than anybody else, saying, hey, we're open to training camp, we're open to have sports activities as best we can, but with nobody in the stands. But I think it's a wise thing because, again, why put that extra burden on the people of Pittsburgh and the Steeler fans?
John, what's your reaction to the 4th and 15 now untimed down rule instead of onside kicks?
I like it until they start screwing around with it, you know, because, again, you know, they're getting into the same mess that they seem to do every year. They put too many items in there to make it more complicated than it is. Okay, the 4th and 15, I think, is a great option. You know, it's one where you look at the onside kick, and in the 2 years that they've changed the kickoff rules, that it's a 6% success rate, 6%. It was 4% in 18 and 8% last year, rounding out to 6% total, where at least on a 4th and 15, there's 12.5% on a success rating. But now, you know, they have to throw in all these little extra things. It's like, okay, you can do it when you're ahead. Okay, so you have to only two times a game. Now, what about, do you have to call a timeout before that? I mean, it's like the catch rule. You know, they keep on coming in and they're saying, okay, well, ball in hand, feet in bounds, and. So here's another and on a rule change. It's silly and stupid. Stop it. Make it simple. Hey, just give them a 4th and 15. It's like, okay, the coach motions and says, okay, take it to the 25. You go to the 25. You make sure that the clock starts at some point. I mean, don't overcomplicate it because you'll get this thing not to go in. I think it needs to go in because, again, the onside kick is so outdated, it needs to go by the wayside.
John Clayton, I agree. 93.7, the Fan NFL Insider. John, do you think the Steelers will hold training camp in Latrobe at St. Vincent College this year?
Not having talked to anybody about it, I'd say most likely no, because I think if you're going to do it, it's probably best to do it at the facility. And again, it's like you don't know for a fact, is St. Vincent College going to be open for the students? If that's not going to be open for the students, it shouldn't be open to the Steelers. And, you know, and on top of that, it's like you're not going to have any fans attending or being allowed to attend anything like that because, you know, it's with the cluster rules and everything else is 6 foot and all that stuff. So, no, I think that if they're holding training camp, it probably should be at the team facility.
John, to go back to the ticketed customers part of this equation, do you think the NFL has considered, or to what degree, if any, has the NFL considered that the risk of even putting any fans in the stands, that fan, you know, even trying to take every safeguard possible, some fans still get sick or can maybe trace it back to going to a game if they have been quarantined otherwise or stayed inside otherwise? Do you think the NFL has considered just saying, forget about this, we're going to just commit to playing games in empty stadiums because it's just not worth the risk to us as a league?
Yeah, but there's no reason to make that decision now. I think that, you know, they're considering all options. Their ideal would be to be able to put fans in the stands. And I think there's the acceptance that if their fans are going to be in the stands, it's only going to be probably 20% capacity because, again, you have to have everybody spread out the 6 feet. But, no, I think that that's a July decision. And to make one right now toward the end of May, I don't think there's any reason to start to, you know, feel one way or another. You know, as you can see, each day there's a different thing going on. I mean, it looks so gloomy, you know, more than a week ago. Then all of a sudden we get past Memorial Day and you have, you know, Governor Cuomo saying, hey, let's open things up to sports. You know, California saying, let's open things up to sports. Then you have the NHL now resuming some part of a season by having the playoffs, the NBA trying to at least get some things going down in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, all of a sudden there's a little bright spot there. And then the big surprise was it's like, okay, you may be able to have coaches going back for the facilities in next week, and maybe there's a long shot that they could maybe have a one-week mini camp toward the end of June. So it's like all those things came on the table in just a matter of time. So it's like there's so many things changing right now, there's no reason to make any kind of a feel one way or another.
John Clayton with us. Mike Tomlin talked about how different it would be if there are no fans or there is no fan noise in the stadiums on Sundays. What do you think is going to happen, John? Do you think they will pump in sound not only on TV, but do you think they'll pump fan sound into stadiums too?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it sounds like different broadcasters are getting word that what they're seeing now in South Korea might be one of the models for what they do in the stands and how they try to coordinate that as far as, you know, how loud do you get at one point and what you try to do. But I think that, you know, that's going to be part of the game because really when you think about it, Vegas is now finally starting to get on board in figuring out what the difference is as far as home field advantage. And, of course, you figure there might be none if it's going to be an empty stadium. You know, what they're starting to say right now, which is usually 3 points for the home team, mm-hmm. is that mouth, you may take it down to 1.5, but then you may have to take even bigger odds against some of the teams that have great fan bases like Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Seattle and all that stuff, where if they're more of a 4 to 5 point favorite, you might have to cut that in half.
John, I don't know. The idea of just pumping in noise in the stadium itself just seems so absurd to me. I can understand making it so for broadcast experience. I watched a little German soccer where they had it, and it actually kind of, it wasn't that bad. It just seems sort of ridiculous, the idea that you would be blasting the speakers with noise to try to facilitate a home field advantage. To me, it just would not be the same at all.
Well, nothing's the same, and that's the one thing I think we realize, and it's not going to be the same. We're now in a new norm, and we don't know what the new norm is really going to be. And so, but I think, you know, because think about this. There's an advantage then that would go to the defenses, I think, is they're going to be able to pick up on so much of the little stuff because they can hear everything. And maybe the quarterbacks, they can pick up on some of the communication that's going on with if you have nothing going on. So, no, I think that it's something that needs to be done. It may sound silly, it may look silly, but I think it's something that's needed.
John Clayton, our 93.7 The Fan NFL Insider. John, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. Chris, did you know that Cam Newton used to date Russell Wilson's wife?
Sierra?
Yeah.
I thought the big like beef there was Sierra used to date Future, and Future...
I don't know who that is. Rapper?
A rapper. Who would get his ass kicked six ways to Sunday in a fight with Russell Wilson, who's a pro athlete, of course. But Future was like going to challenge Russell Wilson or something. I had no idea Cam... previously dated Sierra.
That, would you want your wife's ex-boyfriend in your quarterback room at your workplace every day? I don't think I would.
It depends. How was the split with Cam Newton and Sierra?
I don't know
amicable?
That. I'm not
if
sure.
It was amicable and like they went, you know, what? Here's the other thing too. Was it one of those celebrity relationships where it's like, obviously Wilson and Sierra, they're married, they have kids. So it's not just like, but was it like a clout relationship? Like the publicist said, hey, Cam, we need to connect you with Sierra. Hey, Sierra, this guy is an unbelievable football player.
Craig, if I dated Rachel, wouldn't that make this whole thing awkward? If I had, we're here together every day. If I had spent a lot of time with your wife and just kind of your brain going in places where you know what those relationships are like, wouldn't it make this whole thing very odd?
It 100% would change the dynamic in
here. If I'm Russell Wilson, I'm a franchise quarterback who never misses a game, making almost $40 million. I'm not allowing you to sign somebody who has seen my wife naked. Like, no, that's not. If I have control over the guys we sign, and it sounds like he does to some extent there.
I'd be using the power of veto.
I mean, if you're Russell Wilson, though, you won. She's your wife. Like, she chose you over Cam Newton. You're the starter.
It's still weird.
The team has chosen
it
you
is
over
still
Cam
weird.
There could still be certain locker room talk used to
exactly.
Jab at you about
yep. I don't want
past
any of
things that.
That
have happened.
Yep. But Chris is the bigger man. Cooler heads would prevail with Mueller on this one.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.